Chapter 2 is where we are this morning, this evening, whatever time of day it is. It's dark outside, so we'll go evening. Colossians 2, we're going to read verse number 7. That's where we were last week and parked for, well, we got some stuff done. We got a few things done, a few references looked at last week, but we're going to be in verse 7 again here tonight. The Bible says, verse 6, to get some context, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." These are individuals, he's talking to those that are saved. And he's saying what they need to do and what they should do. And it says that, so walk ye in him. And how are we to walk? We're to walk rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so those that are saved, those that are born again, from verse 6, we are to walk in him. That walk is daily. That walk is in everything that we do. That walk is with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed, the Bible says. And we're to be walking with him. And that means that the things that we do throughout the day, we should be talking to him and seeking counsel from him. And just as if he was right there. You know what it's like. You're with someone. I'm going to have to use some random examples here. Let's say you're with someone else and you're walking through the mall. Do you remember the mall? That's that place that has all the stores in it. And what do you do? You walk through a place like that and you're talking to somebody and you say, "You want to go in here?" Or you look at some of them and you're like, "No interest, right? We're not going in there." You want to go in here? Yeah? Okay, let's go. No? All right. What do you want to do? Ooh, a pretzel place. You want to stop and get pretzels? I mean, that's always a win, right? But what you're having this conversation just about what you're doing. And that's what it's like when you're walking with the Lord. You're walking with the Lord. Lord, you want to go in there? Oh, no? All right, we won't go in there. Right? Lord, what do you want to do today? What do we do? What's the plan today? That's what my kids always ask, probably because my wife and I try to be planners. So kids, what's the plan? Just calm down. What's the plan? You have nothing to say about the plans anyway, all right? So just calm down. You're going to do what we say we're going to do. But, you know, that it's a Lord, what's the plan today? What are we doing today? And just let him lead and guide with your walk in him. But how are we to do that? Verse 7, rooted. And built up in him. He's the foundation. We build up our lives in him. We went through all these things, rooted and something that's established, and we're to bear fruit for Christ. So our walk with him is supposed to be rooted in Christ, and the washing of the water of the word from Ephesians chapter 5, and that should help us to grow in him. But we're rooted down in Christ. We're built up in him. This earthly tabernacle that we have, we're supposed to be built up, who? In Christ. Not built up in what we want to do or built up in our ideas. Or we're supposed to be built up in him, rooted in him, built up in him. And then tonight we're going to continue. The Bible says, and established in the faith. Established in the faith. All right, that word established, we would use the word established. All right, but it's the same context, same meaning, to be established. It means to be fixed or to be settled. Fixed or settled. We're established. We're established in something. It all works together with being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith is what the Bible says. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Look in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 1, 21. "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." All right, so now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. We are to be rooted, we're to be built up, we're to be established in Christ. And how is that? It's by God. It's by God. He's the one that helps us do it. And it's through the Spirit. It's the earnest in our hearts in verse 22. That the Spirit of God is in our hearts and it's there. And that's how we're established in the faith because of the Lord, because of us being in Christ. Outside of that, it's chaos. Remember the parable where it's also a junior church song? The wise man build his house upon the rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Well, you can see how all the scriptures go together. The sand, what is that? That changes, right? That's different. But upon a rock, that's what? That's stable. That's sturdy. We understand who is our rock. We know that, all right? In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we know who that rock is. That rock is God. That rock is Christ. And so what's the foundation? The foundation should be, we should be rooted in Christ. The foundation should be Christ. And then what? We're established. We're established in something in Christ. And that's what we should be. Established in Christ. But not only just established, but look what it says. It says, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. As ye have been taught. Now, we're kind of getting ahead of myself here, but it says at the end of verse 7, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I am thankful unto the Lord that I was raised in a Christian home that was established on the King James Bible and in the faith. Now, I didn't do anything to earn that. I didn't do anything to deserve that. I just happened to be born into a family where parents had gotten saved, had gotten a hold of the Bible, and had gotten a hold of some doctrine, and had been taught some things, and had been established in the faith. And so for myself, growing up, I didn't know any different. You've heard me say it. From a young child, you know, you get your first Bible, your parents buy the first Bible. And what's that mean, that first Bible, if it gets, you know, you carry it to Sunday school, it's going to get beat up and abused and, you know, ruined, right? So you get someone their first Bible, and back in New York, long time ago, right? 20 plus years ago-ish, there used to be a little boy, and he used to come to church, and he would always carry his Bible by the ribbon. It was coal, if you remember. His little Bible would be closed, but he'd be carrying it by the ribbon, and he'd be carrying it in like this, just dragging it around by the ribbon. And I don't know if I ever did that or not, but that's what I picture, you know, kids doing. They're just going to Sunday school. They don't really know any. They don't know any importance. They don't know any reverence of the scriptures. They're just off they go. And I was given a King James Bible, and I was taught some things. My father, when he pastored, and he'd have a whiteboard up there, and he'd be drawing stuff out up there. What? Of the faith that we have. And he says that we should be established in the faith as ye have been taught. As ye have been taught. And listen, if you are in a Bible believing church, you should be thankful for that. You should be thankful for someone willing to open the scriptures and to teach the scriptures, and to teach rightly dividing and sound doctrine. Why? Because it's the foundation of what we have. We know we have Christ as the basis of our foundation for salvation, but His Word, God's Word that He's given to us, is the basis of our faith. It is what we have for our faith. It's not some council. It's not the church fathers. You can find church fathers that say anything. Well, which church father and where are they from and what are they? Throw out the church fathers. Say, that's blasphemy. Why? We have a Bible. God's preserved it for us. We don't have to go back and read some council and what someone decided upon something at some point in some time. We have the scriptures and we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. We don't toss out everything that's ever been taught from the scriptures and try to reinvent the wheel. All right, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the church fathers were useless. I'm just saying we have the scriptures. And we have that, and we have God and the Holy Spirit to teach us and to open the Word and the Scriptures. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. There's just many, many individuals out there that are hanging their hat on some church fathers instead of the Scriptures. And we shouldn't do that. We have the Scriptures. We have the preserved Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look in verse number 5. We'll start in verse 5. And when I call to remembrance, Paul writing to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This unfeigned faith that Timothy now is credited with, Paul says, hey, I remember this first was in your grandmother. And not only your grandmother, but your mother also. And now in you. Now look in verse 13. Same chapter, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He's saying, hey, I came along, right? The mysteries were given to Paul. He comes along and he teaches Timothy and he takes him under his wing and he teaches him according to the scriptures and he teaches him according to the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, hey, remember these things. Hold fast, what, to these things that you've been taught. Hold fast to them. Don't just let them go. Hold fast the things of the scriptures and the things that you've been taught. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 2, 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. He says, you've heard these things, and you've heard them of me, and among others, and many witnesses. And he says, "Teach." You want to teach those to others. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. What's lawfully? Lawfully is as he's been taught. To take these things and compare them with the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit of God to bear witness of these things. And we take what we've been taught and we go forward and we try to teach others. That's what he told Timothy to do. Look in chapter 3, verse number 13. 2 Timothy 3, 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You have known the Holy Scriptures, he says. Now, obviously, you're going to run across other people, and they've also been taught. But again, our final authority is the Scriptures. So, Dr. Ruckman used to say, don't believe me, check it out. That's what he said. Don't believe what I'm saying. Check out what the Scriptures say. And look at what the Bible says, and look at the Scriptures in the Word of God, and check things according to that. Not just according to nothing, not just man's tradition. Run things by the Scriptures, and know what they are according to the Scriptures. And that's the final authority. That's what it is. So we look at that, and look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's a conscious decision of some to turn away from the truth, even when the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit bear witness to it. They turn away from the truth to believe a fairy tale, to believe fables. They turn away from it. And, I mean, we're in that day. There's no doubt. There is no doubt that is the day we're in. The day we're in is to reject the truth, is to reject the truth of God. Even when God in his compassion and in his love for man reveals the Scriptures and reveals that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin and revealed that he took the payment for our sins so that we could be saved, they reject salvation through Jesus Christ. Why? To believe a lie, to believe something else, and to throw it all out in order to feel good about whatever they want to do outside of Christ. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality. It's the reality. And sound doctrine, you try to, some people you can't talk out of the doctrines that they want to hold. You can't talk them out of it. They say, well, I don't believe that. Well, okay, let's look at the Scriptures. And if they let you look at the Scriptures, you can show things out of the Scriptures. Well, that's not how I was raised. Okay, let's look at the Scriptures. We could just go back to the Scriptures. And sometimes you can't talk people out of it. And they want to hold on to it for some reason. They want to hold on to a lie. They want to hold on to a fable. And it's not good. It's not good. And so it says, as ye have been taught. But we should, of course, check how we've been taught. We should check that how we've been taught lines up with the Scriptures. And that helps us. That helps us go a long way towards the Scriptures. All right, so back in Colossians 2. Back in Colossians 2. It says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I mentioned it earlier, but thank God for a book. Thank God that he preserved his word for us. Thank God that he gave us something that we can hold in our laps and we can have as the perfect and pure word of God, and we can open it up at any time, understanding that these are the exact things that God wants for us and that has for us. We don't need any special revelations. We don't need any advancement or newer testaments. We don't need prophets to come and reveal brand new things to us. We have the Scriptures and what God has for us out of the Scriptures. And this isn't a book that we open up and we read a couple times and, well, all right, I got it all. No, this is a spiritual book. This is a spiritual book, and if we're saved and born again and we go into the Scriptures, the Lord continues to reveal his word to us for us and for our lives. You realize we can all have this, hopefully, we all have the same book tonight. right? We could turn the spine over. We could look at it. Probably all of us have the same book tonight, and yet it's just for us. Right where you live. With whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever it is, this book is exactly for you. And you can be saved for 5 minutes, or you can be saved for 50 years. And the word, this book has something for you. Specific. Every day, it's for you. The Holy Spirit of God knows who we are. And as we open up the scriptures, the Lord has something for us right where we live, right where we are, right whatever's going on in our lives. If we're faithful to read the Word of God, He has things for us, just for us in our life. That's how faithful the Lord is to us, and that's what this book is. It's a spiritual book, and we should thank Him for it. We should read it, and we should thank Him for it, and we should cling to it. Cling to it and be thankful. All right, so let's move on here to verse number 8. Verse number 8 tonight. We're not going to get very far into verse number 8 at all. All right, you know what we're going to cover tonight? We're going to cover the first word. Beware. Beware. That's what we're going to do. Say, wow. There's a lot to it. Like I said, it's a big book. There's a lot of good stuff in this book. He just says we're to be rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's what he's talking to Timothy all about it. When he's writing to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, we didn't read all those parts, right? But he says, Timothy, remember these things I taught you? Remember these things you heard in front of these witnesses? Remember the scriptures that you've known from a child? Remember all these things? He keeps reminding him all these things. Why? Because then in a couple verses he says, because these people are teaching false doctrine. And these people are going to want to come by and deceive and be deceived. And so you have to be aware of that. And there's going to be this thing that comes down, and you're going to hear this other thing, and this other thing is going to come along. And he says, beware, beware. So he's writing to the church here at Colossae, and he says, beware, lest any man spoil you. And we'll get into the rest of the verse, but the Bible lets us know that we should beware of some things. We should be on the lookout for some things. So let's look at some of those verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the way back, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 11. Deuteronomy 8, 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. He says, don't forget. Why does he say that? Well, because he continues to explain in 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, because the Lord's going to bless you with some things. You're going to have some blessings. And really, any man can go out and work hard and earn a living and have some nice stuff. I know we should thank the Lord for all that he's done for us, but a person doesn't even have to be saved to be able to live in this life and a lot of times live well. All right, so we can by our own efforts go out and accumulate some things and do some things. But he says, hey, when things get good, he says, beware lest you forget the Lord God. That thou forget not the Lord thy God. We have to be careful of that. I know that we're busy and man, there's work and there's responsibilities and there's all kinds of things that we have. And we can just get so busy, and man, when things are going good, that's when we can just kind of, well, we don't really need God right now. We can just put God over here, and we'll just set him up here, because, and I got this right now, things are going great. And then something bad happens, and we run over, and we grab him off the shelf, right? We go find our Bibles, and we dust it off. What time is it, man? I got to get to church. Why? Because things aren't going good. I need the Lord all of a sudden. He says, hey, don't forget the Lord. When things are good, you'll forget him. We don't have any problem calling out to him and crying out to him and running all the places. And boy, we shape up when we really need him. We get in a bind, something happens, health or kids or finances or something starts falling apart in life and we start running back to the Lord and we put our best foot forward. Hello, Lord, how are you? It's been a while, but haven't forgotten about you. You know, the Lord, I think sometimes when some Christians call on the Lord, he goes, well, what do you want? Sometimes you can have friends like that. You have friends like that? Every once in a while you get a text or you get a phone call and you're like, huh, they need something. Yeah, sometimes people are like that with each other, but they're certainly like that with God. Now something's going on. Now's the time when I need him. And we show up and we hurry up and we give him our Christmas list. Lord, can you fix all these things? I just don't know how all this stuff happened. A lot of times we're thinking, well, 1 through 4, I had something to do with. And we're saying, Lord, can you do this? But we need to beware lest we forget the Lord. Look in chapter 15, verse 9. Deuteronomy 15, verse 9. 15:9, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, that he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. This has to do with the Old Testament law and what they were supposed to do with the land and how many years they were supposed to be able to plow and keep it and buy it and not give it back. And there's a bunch to that. We're not looking at that particularly, but the premise is here. He says, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart saying, how can I get around the law of God where it benefits me? That's the preaching aspect, right? That is the devotional aspect of this passage here. He says, hey, beware, in your heart, you're going to try to figure out how to circumvent the Lord for what seems like more of your own benefit. And he says, beware of that. And Christians can get, we're really good at justifying ourselves, aren't we? We're really good at whatever we want to do, we just justify it to ourselves. And we just lie to ourselves. And then we do whatever we want. And then we feel okay about it. We feel vindicated because we've deceived ourselves and we've just told ourselves, this is what it's going to be for me. And he says, beware of that because it's in your heart. When your will and the Lord's will are going in the opposite directions, to just kind of find a way to make it fit for you. And as Christians, we need to be careful. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of that and when that happens. Look in Matthew chapter number, well, let's go to Judges 13. Judges 13. This is a very long and involved Bible study that we're not doing tonight, so you can rest at ease. Judges 13, verse number 4. Verse number 4, this is the beginning of the story of Samson. And if you remember, Samson's mother was barren and couldn't have children for a while, and the Lord blessed her, and she did have children. Verse 4, it says, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Because she was going to bear a son, and he was going to be a Nazarite. That was like a special sect of Israel, and they had special rules. So he was going to be set aside unto the Lord, and he was going to have, he was supposed to have certain things in his life that he wasn't going to do. And so he says to his mother there, beware, pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. The point that I'm trying to bring up here is there are things, the Lord has some plans for your life. And the Lord has some things he wants you to be able to accomplish in this life for him. And in that, there are things we should stay away from. There are things that we should stay away from in this life, for testimony's sake and many other things. And the ones that are brought out here is wine and strong drink. And so for testimony's sake, a Christian shouldn't be partaking in that stuff. It shouldn't be part of our normal consumption of doing that. It's called wine and spirits. If you ever look at the title on some of those stores, why? Because there's a spirit connected with it. All you have to do is look in the Bible and just do your own study in the Bible, and you'll find, man, there is really no positives connected with this in the scriptures. And I know we do a good job at justifying ourselves. And like I said, this is a long Bible study, and I'm well willing to have it. Just the Lord hasn't brought it about yet. Hasn't told me to do it yet. So someday we'll do it. We'll open it up and we'll set aside some time and we'll say, all right, we're digging in. And this whole topic here about alcohol and everything else and things that can literally take over our own spirits and our own mind and everything else. And it's not good. Not good. The Bible says the spirit of the prophets is subject unto the spirits. What does that mean? There's no spirit of God that's going to make us do anything that we're not deciding to do. Now, why? Because we decide. And so that comes in the verse where Paul talks about, that comes in the chapter where Paul talks about tongues. And he talks about tongues and this idea of this out of the body type of Holy Spirit on top of us thing where people are having these out of body experiences and they're blaming it on the Holy Ghost of God. Paul says, God's not the author of confusion, and the spirit of the prophets is subject unto the prophets. That means the Lord can fill us with boldness to do something, but he's not going to make us do something out of the body. Like even a thing like pass out a gospel tract. He can give you boldness to pass out a gospel tract, but you're not going to pass out a gospel tract and come back to your car at the gas station and be like, what should happen? God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't do that. But there are things in this life that we can consume and put in our bodies, and what happens? We're no longer in control. And we need to stay away from all of those things. And so it says, beware. All right, we're going to stop there tonight because I'm going to stop on time tonight. Look at that. It's 7:45. We're going to go through some more of those things to look at. Beware, of course, there's false doctrine and there's false prophets. And my favorite one to give teenage girls is the verse in Luke that says, beware of men. That's right, young ladies, stay away. but let's go ahead and pause. We'll pause there tonight so that we can take some prayer requests and then pray together.